kwamangako na uhudu na utukufu hata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of Radio Harambe, the official podcast of JamboEveryone.com and the unofficial podcast of Disney's Animal Kingdom. Before we begin, let me just take a minute to talk about our travel partner, Jennifer Green from Destinations in Florida. If you're planning on a trip to Walt Disney World, or anywhere for that matter, actually, Jen can help. We all have had those frustrating days. Believe me, I've had a few when we are waiting on hold with Disney or drowning in frustration with one of their websites. Jen can take all that stress away. Won't cost you an extra dime. And every booking means that she makes a donation to our conservation partners who are working tirelessly to save endangered species. Go to JamboEveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon, or you can email Jen directly at JenniferG@DestinationsInFlorida.com. On this special episode, we will dedicate the entire discussion to what has easily been the biggest and most important weekend in the history of Disney's Animal Kingdom, at least since the announcement of Expedition Everest in 2003. Late this past Friday night, October 11th, my Twitter literally exploded in a torrent of messages, tweets, and notifications. At just around midnight, Tom Staggs, chairman of the Disney Parks and Resorts, took to the Disney Parks blog to make a series of announcements regarding the future of Disney's Animal Kingdom, including details of the Avatar project and all the Imagineering plans to turn the Animal Kingdom into a nighttime destination. Then, after a weekend of discussions and opinions from all across the fan community, the park's blog once again shook the ground with a video featuring James Cameron and Joe Rohde giving us even more details on Pandora and the planned attractions for this new land. So today, I am not your podcast host, and Mike is not a wildlife expert. Today, we are simply fans of this great park, and we're going to discuss and debate all of these plans and ideas put before us in the past few days. And also, we want to know what you think as well. So after you listen, send us your ideas, send us your thoughts. SafariGuide@JamboEveryone.com is the email. You can tweet me at Radio Harambe. You can tweet Mike at JamboEveryone. Give us your 2 cents, and I think even in the next episode or two, we may dedicate a portion of it to some of your input on all this. So as I mentioned, joining me today to discuss all of this is Safari Mike. Mike, it's been a big weekend.
Oh, yes. Jumbo, how are you?
Doing well. I figured we will do this in 2 segments. The first will be just the Avatar project stuff. And then in the second segment, we'll do all the additional things, which we'll get to, which is mostly geared, well, actually entirely geared towards the nighttime plans for the rest of the park for night. Before we get started, though, let me take a little break here and play you a bit of the audio clip, or a bit of the audio from the video clip, let's say, that Disney put on YouTube just a couple of days ago. And this is just the portion featuring Joe Rohde. So take a listen to this, and we'll be back to discuss.
Hello, D23 Expo Tokyo. Joe Rohde from Walt Disney Imagineering. We've been working for like 2 years on Avatar, and we're excited to have the chance to share with you a little bit of what's really going on. We know that Disney fans and Avatar fans want to visit this beautiful planet of Pandora, and they will. They will fly across the planet on the wings of one of those giant creatures. They will go into the bioluminescent forest full of these glorious glowing plants. Above and beyond the key attractions, the land of Pandora itself is filled with experiences. The land comes to life when you interact with it, and seems to be a living creature itself. There's a lyrical, beautiful quality in Avatar that's really compelling, and we want our guests to experience that as well. So we will take them on a journey into just the sheer beauty of the bioluminescent forest at night and all that that could be. All the beauty, all the wonder, the scale, the grandeur that you remember from that film, that's going to be yours. When people come to Animal Kingdom, the sense of experience they have is really vivid. It's transformational. And we think that this experience of Pandora is going to be like that, a transformational experience that you really will remember for the rest of your life. A world of this much imagination is pretty much flat out impossible to build unless you think up and innovate new ways to do it. So the project is filled with new technology, new art, new style, new materials. It's a tremendous tour de force of the innovative capacity of Walt Disney Imagineering. We are far from finished. We're working very, very hard every day all around the world on bringing Avatar to life. I hope you're as excited as I am. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope to see you in the world of Pandora.
That's what Mr. Rohde had to say regarding Avatar in specific. And like I said, we're going to discuss just Avatar in this first portion of the program and go to the other things that were in the Tom Staggs posting a little bit later on in the show. I think the best way to do this is to begin with the artist rendering, since they're also featured in that video clip. For okay. those of you who haven't seen the video clip, you can get it on the Disney Parks blog. And I believe I linked it on the blog on JomboEveryone.com as well. So in order to do this, let me point everyone in the direction of our blog posting that includes all the pictures. If you go to JomboEveryone.com, you'll see the blog right in the middle. You can click on the posting from Saturday, October 12th, 2013, entitled The Biggest Announcement in Disney's Animal Kingdom History. And if you scroll down, you'll start to see some of the pictures. And the first four of these pictures are all from Avatar. And before we discuss the photos specifically, yeah. Mike, let's get sort of impressions. Did your Twitter explode as well?
Well, you have to remember I was at the world at the time. When did this happen? This happened Saturday night?
Friday night.
So I was still at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And for whatever reason, I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed probably like 11:30, just before all this happened. And I woke up at 11:30, and for whatever possessed me to look at my phone, I did. And I saw your email text telling me, you know, something big happened. And then just a million like interactions on Twitter telling, you know, oh my, you know. It was people even saying, I wonder what Jumbo everyone thinks. And I'm like, what? What's going on?
Yeah, that's how I saw it too.
So, anyway, that's so my Twitter did blow up that night. It was hard to follow because I was at Disney World. I was on vacation. Of course, you know, you're in vacation modes. So you're rope dropping parks,
right?
And while you're riding, you know, Haunted Mansion, you're not, you know, looking at the Disney Parks blog.
No,
no. I waited till I got home that night to like really focus in on it. So, you know, I was a little bit behind everybody else. But it was my initial impressions were interesting. The artist renderings, and we'll get to those, are relatively useless. But it's interesting that it appears that those leaked plans from I guess it was a year ago, maybe?
Yeah, just about a year ago. Mm-hmm.
The one which sort of like leaked a possible soaring ride mixed in with a possible boat ride. And I know we talked about this on previous episodes. There was no evidence really that this was Avatar other than, you know, the person who actually leaked it saying that it was. Well, that person might have been right because it does appear what they're leaning towards. It was interesting.
Yeah, it definitely does. And from the when you look at the model that you see, which we'll get to that in a second, you could see that there is obviously water on the exterior and in the interior with those plans showed. Right. You know, the plans only gave a schematic of a floor, so you didn't get an idea of the scope of the building, but it was obviously a building that, you know, that was having theaters in there. So, yeah, they were right on. I mean,
yeah, right on. I mean, it looks, I mean, if you look at that model, that giant rock is apparently the show building, I guess.
Imagineering has a mole, man.
Exactly.
They got somebody who's letting everything go.
Yeah, so that was the first thing that struck me just from reading that initial blog post. And looking at the artistic the model and stuff and the boat ride photo artistic rendering that we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah, well, let's still, that, go ahead.
Was that the leaked plans were right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's not the only one. We're going to get into another correct bit of leaked information later on in the show.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
Right, and the other thing that struck me, and we're talking about the initial post, was that it's the rest of this that excited me the most. But let's go back to Avatar.
And I think the rest of it excited just about everybody. And we'll get to that. I was struck by the timing. Now, I later come to find that it was part of a D23 expo in Japan where they released
The first D23 in Tokyo. Yeah.
Right, which I guess was this past weekend?
Correct. It was that, whatever evening that was. I mean, this was going on, and, they're putting it out on the Disney Park blog shortly after it actually happened in real time in Tokyo. So it just seems rather odd that they would announce something for American parks, in the middle of the night of Tokyo. I mean, obviously,
really,
Japan is a major Disney fan base. I mean, it's huge. I mean, Tokyo Disney does extremely well. Disney is a popular product there. So it makes sense to have D23s there because, I'm sure they'd be very popular. But to announce something for Florida park, not even a California park, where you might get more tourists from Asia than you do in Florida. To announce something for a Florida park there seemed rather odd.
Do you also think it's possible that perhaps this film is held in higher esteem with the Japanese audience than it is currently with the American audience?
I have no idea if it is. I really don't have any idea if Avatar, the movie Avatar, is bigger there than, obviously it's the second biggest movie in the United States, or is it the biggest? I don't remember.
I thought it was the biggest.
It's bigger than Titanic? Cameron, whatever.
Right.
I don't really care for either one, but I don't know if it's very well received in Japan. Having said that, I do know that, I guess it was either Tom Staggs or Bob Iger that had said when this was initially announced, the Avatar project in Animal Kingdom, that don't be surprised if this is carried on to other parks as well, as they put the Avatar, don't be surprised if Hong Kong Disneyland, for example, gets an Avatar land in the future. Or, Tokyo Disney or whatever.
Okay, so let's go to the images real quick.
Sure.
We're starting off with the one, the aforementioned nighttime boat thing. Now, the first thing you said, the first little bit of snark before you got into all your little snarks about the film, was that the artist renderings were, I believe you used, generally useless.
Except for this one.
Except for this, as I was just going to say, this is probably the one artist rendering that isn't useless, of the Avatar things, because there's one that we're going to talk about later that certainly was very useful. But this one is the one that isn't. Now, the one thing you can't... The picture is of a nighttime, obviously a boat ride.
Correct.
It's at night. It looks like a boat... Well, you can't glean much out of the specifics of the ride vehicles yet, but this boat only has a few people in it. And so we're not talking... It may not be a ride as big as, with a boat as big as something like Maelstrom or Pirates of the Caribbean. It looks smaller. In fact, from quick look at it, it looks almost more like a two-seater log like you get in Splash Mountain. But from all the information we can get, this is not going to be a thrill ride.
Right. No, this is going to be a dark ride, boat ride although it's partly outside, and I guess it weaves indoors as well into the show building, quote-unquote show building, but there'll be outdoor elements, so... I don't know if we're looking at inside the show building, theoretically, or, outside at night. I have no idea. What I was getting at with the snarky comment before is that this is not... How do I say this? I mean, this is a fantasy look at what is actually going to be built. It could easily be a very different looking ride vehicle. It could easily be a different look, and it could easily. I mean, in this particular picture, you only see one boat, and farther down, I mean, there's plenty of space. There is no way there's going to be that much of a gap with six people in one boat in this one picture, and you know, a good, if you look at the artistic rendering, and a good 50 yards ahead of it or whatever without any boat ahead of it.
Right.
You're telling me they're going to have a ride vehicle that has a hourly capacity of, you know, 20 people?
Yeah,
No. There's going to be a stream of boats, you know, in this ride vehicle, or much larger boats, one or the other.
But usually when we get an artist rendering of an attraction, of the inside of an attraction released officially by Disney, then we can assume at this point this is what they're working on. So there are parameters within this picture that we can pretty much bank on, which is, you know, people in a boat leisurely strolling through Pandora at night.
We also don't know when this was actually drawn.
But either way, whether it was drawn or not in recent times, they're not going to release a ride-specific thing, a picture, unless this is the ride they're working on.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But that's what I mean.
I'm just saying, when it's all said and done, it could look very different. I mean, even something as simple as the Princess Fairy Tale Hall meet and greet at Magic Kingdom looks very different than the artistic rendering you got, 6 months ago.
Right. But we could say that this is going to be the ride vehicle. We know this is confirmation of that process. And it looks like a very traditional Disney boat ride vehicle.
Correct. I'm curious as to what the boat is supposed to be. It almost looks like a raft. I mean, is that supposed to be like an army inflatable that you're... I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is weird. But I think those kind of things are the things that you can... You know, that'll probably move around and change as the development goes on.
Right. The vehicle itself might look different once it's actually designed.
So, this particular photo...
I like it, though.
I was just going to say that. This particular photo is the one that kind of... When I first looked at the avatar portion of all this, I went, ooh, this looks like it could be cool. Because this looks like a kind of an immersive ride experience, a boat experience, fun kind of family thing that... Just from looking at this, you don't need to be an Avatar fan to... If this is what they pull out, you don't need to be an Avatar fan to appreciate that. That looks like it's going to be a pretty cool aesthetic, if nothing else.
Right. I mean, I this might be a good place to bring this up. I saw this on Twitter. I think it was a friend of mine, Epcot Explorer, but I could be wrong, and I apologize if I am. He basically said this could be the Animal Kingdom's version of Cars Land, which I guess, which it interests me in this way. Cars Land, I have no interest in the movie Cars, much like I have not much interest in the movie Avatar.
Right.
But the land itself, and like Avatar and Animal Kingdom, Cars doesn't really fit in California Adventure. Cars did not take place in California. You know, it took place in the desert. I mean, you could, right. Whatever.
Well, it could have been California, Western California. Eastern California.
But it's not really, though. But anyway, so it doesn't really fit with the theme, but they did such a good job of immersing you into an environment, even though it's one I'm not really interested in. And I have never been to Cars Land, but I'm interested in it just because they did such a beautiful job with the landscaping. The attraction itself looks fantastic. There's new technology in the audio animatronics there, the test track kind of ride system, and the, you know, you're racing other cars, you know, all that stuff. But instead of like beautiful rock work and neon, you know, restaurants, we're going to have these glowing plants and, you know, forest.
Right.
This could really be the Animal Kingdom version of Cars Land, where it just immerses you so completely into the environment, even though you don't give a crap about Avatar. Just like I don't care about Cars, I might be interested in it just because it's so well done.
Well, I must say, that could be the first positive word to ever come out of the mouth of Safari Mike on Avatar here. So obviously,
don't get me wrong. I still think they could do. there are better options in Avatar.
But obviously, Tom Staggs did something here.
if it's as cool as Cars Land, even though I can't stand the movie. Saying I can't stand the movie Cars is probably an overstatement, but I didn't really care for it.
I didn't either.
I didn't really care for the movie Avatar. I thought Cars was the worst Pixar movie they ever made.
Okay.
But it's in an interesting land in the park. There are a couple of important differences that I'll point out quickly. And a couple of them matter, and one of them it doesn't really. One is that one major difference is Cars is based upon merchandise vehicle as opposed to Avatar. I mean, Cars appeals to a wide group of young little boys who just gobble up these Matchbox cars, and it just does extraordinarily well in merchandise. Avatar does not. So Cars is always going to have that fan base of little kids, where Avatar, if the subsequent movies die on the vine, which I'm concerned that they will, it won't have that same appeal to the general populace. That's number one. Number two, and this one doesn't matter to me at all, but number two is Cars is Disney and Avatar is not.
Right.
That doesn't really matter to me, but no. I'm sure it matters to certain people. And thirdly, maybe most importantly, Cars Land was done to fix a broken park. California Adventure, let's face it, was broken.
Sure.
I don't think Animal Kingdom is broken at all. There's no need to fix it. So those are the differences in my mind anyway, but go ahead.
Okay. So you want to scroll down to the next picture here?
Sure.
Get moving on, because I think we can probably toss over the next picture a little bit, because the next one down, it to me absolutely fits the description of what you said earlier, where these are generally meaningless, and this to me looks like a generally meaningless thing. This there's nothing I get out of this. There's no ride vehicle. There's nothing to tell me that this picture of whatever these things are that are flying through with blue guys on them has anything to do with a Disney ride whatsoever. This just looks like an artist sort of sketch of what Pandora would be, and maybe what you'd find in a film clip during a ride at the most.
Right.
Right.
I think this is one of those kinds of things that could have been drawn a year ago, or how long ago was it? Was the announcement was how many years ago now? Was it 2 years ago?
Now? Or, yep, 2 years now.
I mean, this picture could easily be 1 year and 11 months old. I mean, it tells you nothing.
Right, right. So let's just move on to the next one.
Okay.
Because I think the next one is more important, and we're gonna have to kind of meld this with something that if you look at the video, you're going to see it on the video. The next one is, now again, obviously we're looking here more at placing people into an environment. So the artist is actually rendering something that they want to build. So this or that they're going to at least build base their kind of architectural design onto this. That's how I feel. Whenever they put people into things or ride vehicles into things, then you know that they're moving, that we're not just doing a blue sky kind of painting here. We're doing something that maybe, has a possibility of happening. And the reason why I say that, okay, is because in the video clip, there is a subsequent blog posting just a couple of days later on Monday, which would have been what Monday is, the 13th or the 14th. If you go to Monday the 14th, you'll find the blog posting about the video clip. And on that there, I have a picture, a screen capture of this exact same photo, this exact same rendering, but at night.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the two of them together, this really seems to... Joe Rohde makes a comment in the video clip about the environment coming to life around you, about how the whole environment of Pandora is going to be just the details and surroundings are going to be in themselves like a creature that lives and breathes and moves and does all sorts of stuff. And so what blows my mind out of this potential, Mike, is that this could literally be the first Disneyland Disney theme park land, put in quotes, that completely transforms itself at night and is geared for that transformation.
Well, what do you mean by completely transforms itself?
Well, if you look at the pictures at night, all of these things that you see here change their lighting texture.
Okay.
They all turn into the that what the what's the word he used? Bioluminescent.
Right.
Okay. So obviously it looks like they're shooting for an entire land whose whole structure around you is going to transform itself at night into a different looking place. And that, to me, is a fascinating idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean,
that's a cool concept.
Yeah, there are certain places in Disney World or in Disney parks that aesthetically are very different at night than they are during the day. Again, I go to Cars Land. I mean, if you look at that during the at night as opposed to during the day, it looks completely different. I mean, it's a very different feel to it. This, I think, even takes that to the nth step.
Right.
I mean, it expounds on that. Mostly because of the bioluminescence, which was such an important aspect of the visuals of the movie. I mean, they could not do an Avatar Land without trying to capture that to some degree. I mean, it would be pointless.
Right, but rather than just sticking that in an attraction indoors somewhere, it looks like they're going to make it like everywhere around you as you come in.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, one of the interesting things about this whole aspect is, you know, I theorize, let's say, that perhaps all of Avatar Land would be indoors, you know, in one giant show building to help that process. I mean, it's a lot easier to create bioluminescence if everything's indoors and there's no sunlight. I mean, you control that it's nighttime all the time.
Right.
Obviously, they're not doing that. Obviously, they are going to make it. I mean, you could tell by the models. You could tell by this picture.
Right.
And I don't think this picture necessarily tells you anything specific.
No.
I mean, this could have been drawn, you know, 18 months ago or a year ago, for all I know. This particular path and these particular views are probably not going to be there. This is, again, more ideal or an idea. Trying to capture what they're going for, as opposed to capturing actual.
Right.
This is an actual path that people will be walking on. You get this little bug, and you get those waterfalls and all that kind of stuff. But the bioluminescence is interesting, and if they could pull it off outdoors, where during the day you're just in a very unusual, very colorful, very different looking jungle type environment, but at night you're in this glowing living thing. Would be fascinating. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. All of a sudden, people say, "Oh, I'm going to go see Avatar." Don't go until nighttime. You know what I mean? So now you've got this whole separate group of people who would be coming back only at night to Avatar and to the Animal Kingdom because of the transformation of this land at night. Looks like it'll be breathtaking,
right?
You know,
and you almost if you're down there for, you know, whatever, and you're doing Animal Kingdom for a day, as opposed to going there two different times or whatever. I went there four different times when I went there last. This past.
Right.
But I'm unusual. I understand that. I think this will create a scenario where people will go to Avatar Land, rope drop Avatar Land or do Everest and then go to Avatar Land in the morning, but want to stay there to say, hey, we got to go back to Avatar Land at 8 o'clock tonight. Because it's a completely different looking thing. You're going to want to see it.
Right.
You're going to want to ride the boat ride at night as well as the day because it looks different. You're going to want to walk it. You're going to want to do all that kind of stuff. Go to the whatever restaurants or whatever. You know, and just create a different... It's almost creating two lands in one.
Absolutely. And that to me is a fascinating concept and something that I think... Like we're saying, can transform the guest traffic flow into the park more so than just something at night, you know, more so than just a parade or something. I mean, this is really the thing that builds on it.
Right, right.
And the other thing about the picture, let's take the one on the original blog post in the daytime one that stands out to me is it looks like the Animal Kingdom. The paths... The floor they're walking on, the overgrowth around you, it looks like the Animal Kingdom.
That's fine. It looks like the Animal Kingdom, but it's still not. It still not does not coincide with the theme of the Animal Kingdom.
But it looks that way. So the aesthetic value of the theme is there.
Okay.
And,
the aesthetic value is there.
And you could see that they're going to try to, at least it looks to me, like certainly during the day, they're going to try to meld this land aesthetically into what the Animal Kingdom already is, which I think is great because then you don't have that shock to the system of something that, when you first walk in, you know, if you built something like, you know, an arbitrary thing like Cars Land, if you built Cars Land there, right, you, at the Animal Kingdom, you'd go, this just doesn't belong just from the visuals. Well, but at least the visuals will go along and it allows the opportunity to visually blend it in from other areas of the park.
Okay. But I mean, again, it's still Avatar is the theme. I think people don't understand this to some degree. The theme of Animal Kingdom is not conservation and it's not animals. It is the relationship of man and animal. And Avatar has nothing to do with the relationship of man and Avatar.
I understand. We understand that. I'm just talking from an aesthetic value.
To me, and this is going to sound weird, but to me, Avatar Land would almost fit better in a regular zoo than it would, which is really about conservation, than it would Animal Kingdom. Well, that's a bizarre statement, but I think it's true.
I see what you're saying, but I can definitely now start to see a lot of positives. Now, I have always been, we all know that I have always been the world's foremost apologist for this Avatar idea. and I take a beating over that constantly. But I am now starting to think that I'm pretty sure. When we first had our Avatar discussion and I took the pro side, I was a little, you know, I wasn't feeling all that great about it. I felt that this is how I feel about Avatar. I think it can work. Now I believe it will work. At least on the values of things that where people, you know, if you look into things like we do, Mike, where the specifics of what the theme is supposed to be in the park and the I understand that. But if you add conservation and the idea of conserving the land along with these aesthetics and what it's going to blend, it doesn't look like it's going to be a shock to the system and a thing where people are going to walk in and go, what is this doing here? I don't think people are going to do that. Only the people who don't want it to begin with. On spec because it's Avatar and not a Disney product.
Right. I mean, there's a certain population of Disney fanatics who are like, who have already decided they're going to hate Avatar Land.
Sure. Right.
I'm not one of them. I'm against Avatar. I've always said that if they build a couple of cool attractions, I will go there and I will enjoy them. I just think there are things that would be better than what Avatar presents.
And we have a whole show planned for that.
Yeah, let's not beat a dead horse.
So let's scroll down to the next picture, which is not an artist rendering, but instead a photograph of Joe Rohde, I believe Tom Staggs, and James Cameron sitting looking at a model of what they're going to. So we've gone to the model stage, which is a jump in the design of the park.
Correct. This could not have been done when they announced. This has to be.
This is recent.
It has to be much more recent than. I mean, those drawings could have been, you know, a month after the announcement, except maybe the boat ride one. This has to be relatively recent.
First thing that strikes
at 6 months ago, but
exactly. The first thing that strikes me looking at it, and I'll tell you. This is a mouth-watering photograph for people. If you can throw aside Avatar, and if you're like me, you don't particularly have a existential issue with Avatar being part of Disney. You look at this model, you see a mountain, an incredibly large Disney mountain. Now it may be a different one, but that's what this is to me. This is if you look at the scale of the people at the bottom, this mountain you see on your right, which I think we all kind of feel is going to be the building that houses the simulator ride, which we're going to talk about next.
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah. This, if that's the scale, that's Everest scale.
Sure.
So this is an ambitious project.
Well, we knew it was an ambitious project. I mean, from the get-go, they claimed they were going to build a couple of attractions, including an E-level attraction as well as, you know, other paraphernalia. But
look at it.
What? What about it?
Look at that. This looks incredible.
Yeah. I mean, the mountain is interesting. I mean, this is what I would expect from an Avatar land. I mean, this is one of those mountains that are supposed to be floating, although it's not floating. But I guess the ones behind it are going to attempt to make it look like it's floating, I suppose.
Right.
It's hard to tell. I mean, obviously, how could they have possibly built an actual floating mountain? They can't do that. It'd be interesting to see how they're going to try to pull that off.
yes, it is.
it's not going to... I mean, I'm not sure how they're going to pull it off. But this is the show building. It's interesting. The trees themselves, I mean, the foliage around, it looks different to me than those artistic renderings, which leads me to believe...
It looks more like Animal Kingdom.
It does. It looks more like Animal Kingdom as opposed to Pandora. I mean, some of these trees look like they could be, you know, in the Oasis.
Right.
I mean, it looks like the Oasis. It doesn't look like the alien aspect of Pandora, which is good and bad. I mean, it looks like Animal Kingdom, but now it doesn't look like Pandora, which is, I thought, what they were going for. So it's hard to put that all in perspective. But
I think the reason why you're saying that is because the photo. If you look at some of the pictures of the same artist renderings done in the video,
right?
You'll see again some things where it looks like just trees and that kind of stuff. But when you see the scale of the trees around you, these are obviously giant trees, huge, massive structures.
Yeah, but again, they look like trees from, you know.
But if it's an 80-foot tree, Mike, it's not going to look like the Animal Kingdom. It's not going to look like the Oasis.
I don't know if they look like 80-foot trees, though.
Well, you know what I'm saying. If we have trees that are to the scale of the ones that are in Pandora, and it does look from these renderings like that might be what we're going at in some of these, because, like I said, you see some of these pictures, if you kind of look in on them, you see the scale of the people standing next to the trees. These are big.
Yeah, but they're not 80 feet big. I mean,
they're big.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with your interpretation of how big they actually are in relation to the people, but okay.
Well, I mean, that may be true, but it's obviously what they're going for is that look of Pandora. And I think you lose that in the scale of the photo, if you know what I mean. The way the photo is taken, I think you lose the idea a little bit of the scale of the mountain and the scale of the people and that kind of stuff. You don't quite get... You know, everything I think that they're going for here. Also, if you look in a little bit more, you see some of the details that are going to be very Pandora-ish, like the kind of serpentine-looking root structures that move in and around that appear to come from the big rock across. Yeah. So I think on a micro scale, you're going to get a lot more of a Pandora feel than maybe what you're getting, just as the nature of the photo being taken from so far behind.
Right. I mean, that particular area looks more Pandora-ish than the one that's closer to you.
Exactly.
I mean, or by James Cameron, which looks more like just, you know, whatever, trees. So I will agree with you there.
I mean,
and the waterway that they show there is interesting to me too.
Yeah, it's incredibly interesting. Now let's pivot to the video a little bit.
Okay.
Because probably the most sort of eye-catching thing about the video is there's a scene during it where you see what's obviously Rhodey and Staggs and Cameron and maybe somebody else. You're not really sure who it is on a platform with a sort of IMAX theater around them.
Right.
So what we're obviously getting this tells us is, again, confirming the stuff we were saying before about these plans that were released a year ago, that's a simulator. I mean, there's no two ways about that.
There's no two ways about it. It'll be interesting to see what I mean, you can't tell what it looks. I mean, it's a simulator for sure. These guys are standing on a platform. Clearly, the people who are riding it will not be standing on this platform.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a simulator along the lines of, say, Star Tours, or a simulator more in terms of Soarin'. I mean, what we hear is that it's more Soarin' than anything else. They're using that kind of theater, and you'll almost be hang gliding. And I think that's probably the better way to go, personally. But that's to wait and see. And who knows if these are actual... This could just be sort of... And if you look at the actual video itself, the animation that they use is not quite... I mean, it's hard to tell because it's a video of a video. It's not quite crisp.
It's not a finished product.
Right. And you know, we're not... This is not what we're going to be seeing when we're actually riding the ride. That's those scenes where you're sweeping over and the herds of animals and all that kind of stuff might not be there when it's all said and done. So, I mean, this is just getting a feel. Again, this has got to be relatively recent too, I would assume.
The interesting thing about it is that there's two things that you can imagine from the movie where you would fly. It's those dragon-looking things in the photo the rendering we talked about before, or some sort of, like, you know, spacecraft, some sort of ship, some sort of plane or something, because they flew things like that.
Right.
Neither one of those things, all of those things lend themselves to a solo experience or maybe two or three people at the most. So when you think Soarin', there's obviously going to be the possibility exists that there's going to be kind of a real update on that technology, because, and then that, you know, that's however many dozens of people all watching the same movie at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen here. It's hard to say.
Yeah, exactly. It's who knows?
But we are getting a sim, and that's going to be the sim ride, and that's going to obviously be the centerpiece here.
Good.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, just because it's me, was Joe Rohde himself, whose enthusiasm for the project seemed undeniable here.
Well, I mean, he always seems like that.
I know, but I just, it warms the heart to know that the man who's really leading this is going to be Rohde, and that it's not getting, you know what I mean? Like, it puts to rest a lot of kind of speculation that came around. Oh, I don't know if Rohde's behind this, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, behind it or not, it's obvious he's leading the charge.
Right. So whether or not he had any role in the decision to actually do this, and whether or not he was happy about it, is irrelevant at this point.
Right.
He's the man in charge of it, and he's doing what he can to make it as good as he can, if that makes sense.
It does.
Okay.
So before we take our break and come back with the stuff that you're excited about, I wanted to end with this question. Has your anti-Avatar resolve been shaken ever so slightly here?
What do you mean by anti-Avatar? I mean, I feel the same way as I always have. I don't like the movie Avatar. I thought it was a average movie. It was based completely on visuals with no real story to it. I have no faith that the sequels to Avatar will do any of the amount of money that Avatar itself did. But if, you know, Joe Rohde comes up with some cool attractions, I will go on it. I mean, I won't. I just think there are better choices to be made. I haven't changed my way in any. I haven't changed my thoughts on it in any shape, manner, or form.
But let me ask you this.
Said that, having seen this, it does at least appear that these attractions could be cool.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's all I wanted to hear. Mike, say this could be cool.
The attractions themselves could be. Yeah, they could be cool. They could be.
I think that, I mean, if they manage to pull off, especially this idea of the land coming to life at night, I mean, this is going to be, this could be really amazing.
Sure. I mean, it could be like, you know, some people have said on Twitter, and I completely agree. This could definitely be Cars Land for the Animal Kingdom.
Something I think it'd be even bigger than that.
Something I have no interest in from a movie point of view. and on its face would not appeal to me, but they did such a good job of immersing you into that environment, I'll be interested by it.
I think for a sci-fi fan, a general science fiction fan, that this could be a truly amazing experience. Whether you like this film in particular or not, the idea of setting this sort of science fiction stage in a completely immersive land, not just an attraction, but a whole entire area walking around eating your hot dog, you know, with this stuff is something that could be groundbreaking. I mean, I'm really impressed by it.
There could be groundbreaking technology, absolutely.
So you want to take a quick break here and then come back and discuss the rest of it?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Radio Harambe. At the Jumbo Everyone store, you can purchase fun and stylish apparel and merchandise, all while helping save wildlife. At Radio Harambe and JumboEveryone.com, we are committed to doing everything we can to help our conservation partners who are on the ground working to keep endangered animals from extinction. So with every purchase made at the store, we will donate 50% of the profits to our partners. You'll find t-shirts, hats, iPad covers, tote bags, and much more. And all the items are customizable to fit your size, taste, and budget. We have great Jumbo Everyone logo merchandise, plus some really exciting animal designs featuring cheetahs, rhinos, gorillas, macaws, and zebras. Go to JumboEveryone.com and click the banner for the store and help us in our conservation efforts. Welcome back to Radio Harambe on this special episode of the weekend that shook the animal kingdom world with announcement after announcement. We've previously discussed the Avatar announcement, but inside this Tom Staggs blog posting on the Disney Parks blog that we've been discussing were just a few throwaway lines that got all of us jumping up and down and high-fiving each other. And they are regarding a few additional things to the animal kingdom, not related to Avatar, that are going to be making their debut sometime, you know, in the near future. And they're all geared towards the evening hours. And if you scroll down from our blog, the posting we've been talking about before, you'll see the final photo in that blog, final artist rendering, is one that they say is going to set sort of the nighttime vibe. And he says live performers, including live entertainment and live performers, are going to be some of the additional nighttime entertainment. Put that in quotes because that's what he used. That's the phrase he used. And pictured in this blog, you see that. Now, to me, Mike, just let's look at the foreground of this. This band looks a little familiar.
It does. It looks like Viva Gaia.
Right.
Which is one of my favorites. I mean, I like Barudica, but I also like Viva Gaia. They usually perform, they occasionally, I should put it this way, perform over by the Flame Tree Barbecue. And it's basically a band. There's a couple of, the woman dancing up front looks just like the woman that dances. And, you know, it's Viva Gaia and gets the people up and dancing, and which is exactly what she's doing here. And it's accompanied by a person on stilts dancing along and blowing a whistle and all that kind of stuff. It's a fun band, and this looks exactly like them.
So it looks like what we might just be seeing here is just adding additional hours for the existing entertainment at night.
Right.
You know, nothing more than that from here. And
right, not from this picture.
Right, not from this.
They do say, I think they said they were introducing more nighttime entertainment. I guess that could read that that could be interpreted as just adding performances from already existing bands.
Exactly. So we're getting additional nighttime entertainment. We don't know if that's going to mean something new.
Right.
But it does appear as though at least one thing on the cards is to extend the entertainment hours into the evening. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
you know, because that is one of the sort of hidden gems of the animal kingdom. And if people just kind of want to soak in the vibe at night and wait for some sort of soon to be mentioned evening, you know, day closer, so to speak, nightcap, you know, spectacular, having these kind of things in and around the animal kingdom is kind of cool. You know, the thing that stuck out about this with me is, did you notice the masks on the kids?
Oh, you know, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, the kids are wearing, like,
glowing masks.
Glowing masks that almost have this sort of, you know, Venetian masquerade look to them.
Yeah, they do, kind of. That is interesting.
The other thing about it is the torches around the outside.
Right. Right. Which would be nice. Oh, I mean, yeah. I was just at Animal Kingdom at night a couple of days ago, and it's Discovery Island is beautiful at night, as is, you know, around Everest, and Dino Land is terrific at night too. But these lanterns, I mean, it looks more lit up than what it's currently, because Animal Kingdom at night can be kind of dark at certain places, as opposed to, you know, some other areas, you know, other night areas of different parks. This seems more vibrant than kind of what it currently is at night, which is kind of low lit, kind of mysterious.
Right.
Both are fun, but this seems a little different.
And obviously your eye is immediately drawn to the tree.
Right. Which shows lit up almost like a flock of butterflies. I mean, that's what it is. It's butterflies. It makes it look like there are butterflies flying all around and landing in the tree. Right. You know, luminescent butterflies.
Right. Which could be the same technology. Maybe they're adding the bioluminescent stuff. Or if you were talking, what you mentioned when we were off air is this could be some kind of projection.
Right. I mean, one of the rumors about the rivers of light would be not only would you have projection technology on sails and stuff like that and barges that go around the river, but actually using the technology that you see in the Celebrate the Magic on the Tree of Life, on the Cinderella's Castle, being used in the Tree of Life to project images on the Tree of Life and make it come to life. One such example I think we're seeing here is the butterflies flying all around. And you'll see other things. That's what I've heard. And that would actually be part of the Rivers of Light nighttime ending event.
Let's talk about that. Because the other thing that Staggs said was that we should expect a, quote, new nighttime spectacular where live music, floating lanterns, water screens, and swirling animal imagery all combine to bring the show to Discovery River that will delight our guests and truly cap off their day at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Before we go into that at all, we must all doff our caps to the Disney hipsters. Who months ago broke this rumor.
Right.
And nobody believed him except us. It seemed like
nobody believed him. If you go, you know, I think they caught a little, you know, grief about it. I even saw, who was it? It was Kevin Yee, I think, who, you know, just the other day said, oh, look at my, you know, post from September where I talk about the rumor of the Rivers of Light. And I just wanted to scream. I mean, break. I mean, you know, I can't stand it when people do that. But anyway, the hipsters had it back in, it was either June or July. They basically said exactly what Tom Stagg said. They said there was going to be barges that were going to have sails, that they were going to use projection technology on the barges, there were going to be floating lights, and they were going to use the Tree of Life, or projections of on the Tree of Life itself. And that's pretty much what Tom Staggs just told you,
right,
was going to be this. He didn't call it the Rivers of Light, and you know maybe that's not actually going to be the name. Who knows?
Sure, sure.
But the hipsters had it dead on.
Right. I think maybe that name Rivers of Light might be something that goes back quite a ways, and I think we're just sort of associating that one name to an entire rumor. I don't think even the guys felt that was exactly the name. You never got that vibe. It was more about the, you know, what it was going to be. The thing that they said was way back in July is that we're getting close to the testing phase on this, if it's not testing's partially already, And what makes me think they're right about that too is the amazing specificness with specific qualities that and details that Staggs tells us here, which is something you almost never get. I mean, if he didn't know the specifics about what this attraction was going to be, he would say, you know, a wonderful nighttime river spectacular that'll cap off your day. Like he said, he wouldn't throw in things like floating lanterns, water screens, and swirling animal imagery. I mean, those are very specific items.
Nope. Yep, you know? You're absolutely right. Yep. The hipsters had it, you know, dead on. They obviously knew. And, you know, what we said back then was that this is, you know, the hipsters don't, generally speaking, don't, you know, draw out rumors unless before. I mean, they've never really broken stuff before. So I really, at the time, thought to myself, believe them just for the fact that, you know, the boy that cried wolf, they weren't that. So whatever source they had nailed it.
Yeah. And we've talked about this rumor a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't think it's a good idea, at least to give it a try.
Oh, you know, I think this is, I mean, we've talked about how fireworks wouldn't work and all that kind of stuff. And right. Who wants just a carbon copy of the wonderful World of Color? Right. I mean, this is something new. This is something using the, it seems like it's going to take that Celebrate the Magic technology and kick it up a notch, you know, use the waterway, the river that goes around the Tree of Life to great effect, you know, all that kind of stuff. Would really, you know, would really be beneficial, and I think would be a great way to end the park and be different. It's very different from Illuminations, which is, you know, terrific in its own right. Very different from Fantasmic. Very different from Wishes. It's a completely different kind of nighttime show.
And you know what? There's another specific that he says in here, which I think a lot of people don't really look at. Which I don't know if he really means this. Maybe he doesn't. But what he said is live music. Live music means performers performing music.
Well, and that's what you see in this picture here. I mean, if that is the Rivers of Light going on behind you at the Tree of Life with the swirling butterflies and all that kind of stuff, I mean, maybe, you know, this Viva Gaia or a band of that nature is playing while it's going on.
Yeah, and that to me is that's a cool idea. I mean, that's something different.
Yeah, also very different, yeah.
And floating lanterns. I'm very intrigued by that idea.
Well, I mean, even way back when Jim Hill had the, you know, the initial Rivers of Light kind of idea was there was going to be a lantern lit parade on the water, basically boats with lanterns lighting along the way. And, you know, I guess, you know, Rafiki waving to you under lantern light or whatever the idea was initially. That's obviously not what we're getting now. But there's still this lantern, and even this picture that we're looking at, there's a lot of lanterns on it. I guess the popularity of Rapunzel has really taken hold. Lanterns up the yin yang now. But anyway, you know, it's interesting. I mean, and again, it's something that fits the Animal Kingdom, and is very different.
Yeah, I like the animal imagery and things like that. I mean, I think there is some great possibilities here. And what they can do as far as integrating the wildlife into a story.
Right, and I think that's what you're seeing on the Tree of Life in this picture, the swirling animal imagery. This particular instance, it's butterflies, you know, flying around the tree and landing, yeah.
So this could be sort of like a park-wide event, you know, more like, you know, something that you're going to have to be way off in Dino Land to not see this happening.
Right.
Or not to be part of this.
Right.
So it's a big event. You know, kind of unrelated and kind of unsubstantiated. Over the last few days, I've also been hearing the possibility of Mickey's Jam and Jungle Parade not coming back in 2014. Maybe ending as early as this run of this year, and probably, I would guess, probably not coming back after it turns into the Jingle Jungle Parade. The reason why I mentioned that, Mike, is because if that's true, and we're talking about testing things here, I wonder if that doesn't sort of signal when this would happen. Maybe I'm kind of a feeling, what I'm thinking here is like, you know, in some of the park days where the park closes at 7 o'clock, you know, some of the, you know, less attended winter hours, mm-hmm. that maybe you know, they're going to have to design a different parade, maybe no parade in the afternoon at all because of this. I wonder if there's any sort of relation between that rumor and this. I haven't heard any, but just, you know, you see something this big and this grand, I wonder if there isn't going to be some sort of parade element to all this as well on the land, not just in the water. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's unlike the other things that we've been talking about so far that have been confirmed by Disney, or at least, you know, whatever. I mean, the fact that the Jam and Jungle may be going away is still in the just a rumor.
Yeah.
And who knows if that's really what's going to happen. But, you know, but every once in a while, Disney does change parades. They're changing the one in the Magic Kingdom.
They seem to be doing it a lot recently.
Yeah, they have been. They got rid of the one in the Hollywood Studios. I like the Jam and Jungle Parade. I think it's a fun parade. It's very different.
Right.
It's also very easy to watch as opposed to like the Magic Kingdom one that can get extraordinarily crowded. So, you know, I would lament it to some degree, but I mean, whatever. I mean, I could live without a parade. I didn't even see it this time around. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll keep you posted on if I hear anything more on this, but this is really more just kind of rumblings right now of what I'm starting to get. And finally, and the one that had me jumping up and down, because I've mentioned this a few times and have been summarily shot down. We're going to have a nighttime return of a Kilimanjaro safaris at night. I say return because they did do that a few times in the past. Mm-hmm. There has been, you know, during the park's initial years, sometimes where we did get the animal, you know, a nighttime safari for Kilimanjaro. But it looks like we're getting another one now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do because, you know, as we've talked about in the past, you can't have animals, quote unquote, on exhibit 24/7. They do have to go inside to be taken care of by vets and get off the stress of being on exhibit. Now, having said that, obviously, at a place like the Animal Kingdom Lodge, there's always animals on exhibit, but that's different in that you don't have the same type of stress factor that you do with animals on exhibit like you do at Maharaja Jungle Trek. I mean, those tigers are in a smaller space. There's thousands of people walking by them, you know, during the course of a day. That's stressful. On a safari such as Kilimanjaro Safaris, there are certain areas that are so big that, you know, if the animals wanted to get away or are feeling stressed, they could go away and not be visible. So it's certain portions of Kilimanjaro Safaris are more conducive to that type of exhibit.
Right.
So I suspect, I don't know this by any stretch of the imagination, but I suspect that the quote-unquote nighttime version of Kilimanjaro Safaris will not be the full attraction.
And what I was just going to say was there is, you know, I'm a person who obsesses over the way people write these things to try to glean every little bit of information. And that one word, version, is an enormously important word in this. It is not going to be Kilimanjaro. So from what I can get from that sentence, it is not going to be a Kilimanjaro Safaris that you know it now, however done in the dark. There's going to be something different.
Right. I can only, and they're obviously not going to build lights. So it's probably going to be night vision goggles and that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Which I suspect everybody would assume that it was going to be.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. But I suspect that, just guessing now, obviously, I suspect the first portion where, you know, you go past the black rhinos, the okapi, the hippos, probably would not be a part of it. Those are smaller exhibits. Those animals will probably have to come off exhibit.
Really? Okay.
I would think.
Okay.
I would think so. That would be my guess. I don't know that. The alternative would be that they have enough animals, and with the okapis, they might actually have this. But they would have enough animals to actually rotate them in and out. You don't want the same okapi just on that exhibit 24/7.
Right.
So I know, for example, that they have quite a few white rhinos that are in, you know, that are later on in the exhibit. And in fact, on my last safari ride, I saw about 7 of them, I think, were wandering around. They could get it up. They could, like, set it up so that, you know, 2 at a time and they bring them off and bring 2 others out or, you know, whatnot. In that scenario, there might be a time where the Kilimanjaro Safaris is actually closed, so maybe it goes to 5, is then closed from 5 to 6, let's say, and then reopens for the quote-unquote nighttime version for the next 3 hours or so. You know, something along those lines.
And if you're doing a night vision goggles type of thing, the idea of having 100 things to look at is kind of counterintuitive. You want to, you'll probably want to get to the point where we're making it sort of the contest to see what we're looking for, you know, and to spot things. Context, right. Two rhinos is better than 7, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, I suspect that the cheetahs will not be a part of it.
That's interesting, because that's when the cheetahs are probably the most active, right?
No, that's not right.
Actually. Oh, no?
No, cheetahs are daytime hunters. They're not nighttime hunters. They're more active during the day. Having said that, they're cats, so they're very rarely active ever. But they are generally daytime animals, which is why they're so good at, you know, for documentaries, the cheetahs are pretty good at it.
Yeah, there you go.
They generally hunt during the day.
What about lions?
Lions are nighttime animals, but they're also, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to keep them at night. I guess they probably can. Maybe that's a good example of, you know, getting enough lions where you could swap them off at some point in time during the course of the day.
Right.
Get a different set out there. I mean, who knows? Again, we're all speculating, but, you know, I suspect that this nighttime version, as they're calling it, there'll be portions of the ride that you know today that would not be on the safari. My suspicion would be the first part, for example, would be my first thought is that Okapi Black Rhino area would probably not be on it. You'd probably start off, you know, in the main savannah. Maybe that would be all it would be, the area where you have the giraffe and then the white rhinos and
right
over there. Maybe that would be it. And it would be interesting to see what they would do. I mean, you wouldn't want to drive through it like you do currently. You'd probably want to have areas where you would stop for a moment and give everybody a chance to just look around.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see
how the ride capacity works for that, too.
Right. I'm not sure how they're going to pull it off. But they obviously have some sort of idea. As you said before, they wouldn't announce it unless they know how they're going to do it.
Now, is this the thing that gets you most... Is this the thing that you're most intrigued by?
Either this or the Rivers of Light, the confirmation of a nighttime thing. Those are the two biggies for me.
Yeah. You know what? Kind of in summing up a little bit, let me say this. I'm excited about everything I've heard. I'm obviously a little bit more excited about the Avatar project than most. But I'm excited by it. I'm also nervous as hell. I'll be. Every time I think of things like Cars Land, I think of Starbucks. You know, every time I think of great improvements to rides, I think of what they've done in Future World. I think of New Fantasyland, which I'm not impressed by. I think of things like, you know, like the Norway thing that we listened to you rant about.
I don't want to talk about that.
Right, but you know what I'm saying. I'll put it this way. If Imagineering were a sports team, right now we'd be wondering whether or not they're going to, you know, have a better second half of the season, because things haven't been completely great all the time in the recent history.
No,
so
I think
some designs are good, some aren't.
Yeah, I think New Fantasyland, generally speaking, is eh.
That's what I mean.
There are good aspects to it. I think... like the Gaston's Tavern area over there is really good. Storybook Circus is phenomenal. I love it. The Little Mermaid ride, I mean, it's aesthetically, they did a nice job with the show building. The ride's okay. I mean, but it's nothing great.
Right.
You know, what else have they done?
I mean, I always
really don't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I always think of things like, you know, the new test track, which is very underwhelming. I think of the one that really stands out to me is Spaceship Earth, which was in dire need of an update. And really got kind of a downgrade instead. You know?
Yeah.
They do some good things. They do some bad things. I have all the faith in the world in Joe Rohde, which makes me a little less nervous than I would have been had that video not come out. I'll be honest. That video really kind of put my mind at ease, because it did show me an enthusiastic guy and the right person at the head of the head of the line here.
True. I don't think Joe Rohde's ever. I don't think he's ever missed that. I'm rolling in my head the things that he has basically designed,
and that's Olani. That is, you know, Animal Kingdom. That is
Adventurers Club.
I know he had a major hand in Norway
and Mexico,
and not as major, but, but he was involved in that one in designing it.
That was one of his first things,
right? And those are all A pluses in my mind.
Absolutely.
Although I've never been to Olani, but still, everything I've seen looks like an A plus. So, you know, I have to say that. I mean, he's never. Oh, actually, no, I take that back. He was involved with Captain EO.
Well, wait a minute. At the time, everybody loved that.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that.
So, Mike, your sort of sum up impressions of the whole thing. Your sort of closing statement here.
I'm excited with the way the Animal Kingdom is going in terms of the Rivers of Light and the Kilimanjaro Safaris. I'm still. I stand by what I said with the Avatar Land before, and that is, I think there are better options. Australia, Mystic Point, you know, we've gone over ad nauseum, all that kind of stuff. But if they build cool attractions, I will go and I will enjoy it. And this, at least, what we've seen now, at least says to me, okay, this could be cool. It could be interesting. So I will give them that. And I just hope that whatever they do next at the Animal Kingdom, and it may be a while before they do anything next, because this is obviously a major investment. They're doing a lot here. Whatever it is, I hope goes back to what we got in Anandapur and Harambe and all that kind of stuff. And you know, the kind of animal-human interaction element, you know, maybe in Australia, maybe a new animal trail. It could even be something small like a new animal trail or a little sprucing up of Rafiki's or something like that. But I just hope pandas. Whatever they do next is not, you know, blue aliens. Is I hope they get that out of their system. All right, we got our big e-ticket. There's the blue aliens and, you know, the people who like movies and blah, 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 blah.
I see.
Now let's, you know, do something again that's more what the real Animal Kingdom is about. If that's true, then okay. That's what I hope.
So when you make your first visit in 2020, give him a couple extra years, to soften out the rough edges, to fix some of the glitches, okay, right? When you make your first visit in the winter of 2020, in the early part of 20,
right
now, that the Animal Kingdom will be a better place than it was last week for you.
Do I think that's true?
Do you think it will be a better place than it was last week?
Well, I'm going to say yes, because it doesn't appear like they're taking anything away. I mean, they're adding a Rivers of Light. They're adding a nighttime vision of Kilimanjaro Safaris. They're adding Avatar Land. The only thing they're taking away is Camp Minnie Mickey, but they're not even really taking away that. They're just moving it around. Minnie and Mickey are moving to Discovery Island. Festival of the Lion King is moving to an expanded Harambe, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not the same as, like, say, Fantasyland, where they took stuff away, i.e., like the Snow White ride and, you know, all that kind of stuff to add stuff. It's not Test Track, where they're taking the old version away to replace it with the new one. It's not, you know, whatever they're planning on doing with an imagination. They're adding without subtracting. So I think under that scenario, it's got to at least, even if I only like one thing, you know, the Rivers of Light, it's going to be better.
Yeah. My biggest fear is, and I'm going to take the negative here for a moment, that Avatar attracts hordes of people completely uninterested in the wildlife and the conservation angle of the park. And then that, my fear is, then that could, this is the one bad thing about adding anything not wildlife related.
Oh, absolutely. I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
You know, and that means that could start the ball rolling down the hill.
Right. Then, you know, after this, they could remove,
right,
you know, the Maharaja Jungle Trek for a Jungle Book ride.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is absolutely the negative.
I never like to take the slippery slope thing, because we know we have no reason to believe that would happen. But I do worry about that, and that Avatar will sound the bell for that to begin, or could
Yeah.
So I think it becomes really critical that somehow, some way, push the conservation, the living with the land part of Avatar on to guests more than anything else. Because that is really the only way you don't risk that. That's my fear. My answer to the question is in 2020, I think it probably will be, for the same reasons you said, that a couple of things like the nighttime version of the safari, which maybe that these things could happen. I mean, we're talking about 2017 for Avatar, which is an enormously long time. But these other things, we have no reason to believe they're waiting until 2017 to add a nighttime version of Kilimanjaro Safaris or this Rivers of Light thing. So it could be that we're going to have a couple of glorious years there, Mike, where before Avatar opens with just these additions, you know?
Right. And the other thing to remember is we are 3 years away. And when they announced New Fantasyland, for example, with all the things that they announced that they were going to do at that time, there's really a lot different than what we ultimately got. I mean, don't forget, when that was initially announced, you were going to get a Pixie Hollow that was going to meet and greet for Tinkerbell. There was going to be all these little cottages for the different princesses for their own meet and greets and all that kind of stuff. And then, 6 months later, they realized that, nobody wants a land full of meet and greets. You have to have some rides. And they swapped out Pixie Hollow. They combined the princesses and decided to do Snow White Mine Coaster. So, don't be surprised if, a year from now, maybe the boat ride gets removed or, whatever. It could.
Sure.
Who knows?
Sure. Well, anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, sir.
All right. Thanks once again, everybody, for listening to Radio Harambe. Again, send us your tweets. Send us your emails. The email is safariguide@jomboeveryone.com. I'm at Radio Harambe. Mike's at jomboeveryone. Send us your tweets. Tell us your thoughts. If we have some time over the next couple of weeks, we're going to go back to some of those things and get sort of a fan impression of all this stuff. Not just Avatar. Don't focus just on Avatar. There's a lot more here than just Avatar. So let's talk about all of it and send it to us, and we'll throw them when we get a chance to. For more information on the Animal Kingdom, stop by and visit us at our website. Like I said, jomboeveryone.com. We got everything on there about the Animal Kingdom, reviews of attractions, restaurants, shows. I'm sure Mike's going to be throwing up trip reports sooner or later because he just got back. And that's why we couldn't report on where you were from this time, Mike, because we know where you're from. You're from home. You just got back from, you just got back from Walt Disney World in the last 24 hours. Also, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Radio Harambe. Mike's at Jumbo Everyone. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube. Go to the links there from JumboEveryone.com. Don't forget about the conservation store that we have on the JumboEveryone.com as well. I have my new Not a Half Day Park t-shirts ready to go for my upcoming trip, and I plan on wearing them every day I'm there. They look great, and we donate half the profits to our conservation partners. The other half goes to keep the show going and all our content as well. Go to Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have a chance to, please rate us and leave us a review there as well. That does help. You can also listen to us on Stitcher and Podbean. So, Kua Harini, go well, and thank you for listening to this special edition of Radio Harambe. Now, who took a time?